So today, if the Lord wills, we will continue looking at 2 Kings chapter 2. Yesterday we left off on verse 4. And just to mention this, Abraham declared unto his household not what he read, for there was nothing of the living God to read. Abraham declared unto his household what he saw in the face of the living God. See, there's a history with Abraham that we do not know. Well, maybe we do know. There's Jewish tradition that says that Terah, his father, was an idol maker. So basically, in this advanced civilization, Terah said, "Hey, this is a god, and let's everyone bow down to it." And he sold his concept. He sold his idea. And see, the Jewish basically tradition goes, or history. Forgive me if I'm messing it up. But basically that Abraham was actually searching for something real. And so he offers unto these gods something, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits, and the gods do nothing. And he's just waiting and waiting and waiting. They don't do anything. They're mute, dumb, lifeless. And so he takes, I think it was either a hammer or an axe, and he goes in and chops up all the little idols, all the little gods, and he takes it and puts it in the hand of the big god. So when his dad shows up, he says, "What have you done?" He says, "I didn't do anything. He did it." He got mad with everybody else. He wanted to be the only god. So he chopped up all the idols. Supposedly his dad says, "Don't tease me. You know that they're not gods." His response is along these lines. "If they're not gods, why do you bow down to them then? If they're not the true and living and only God Almighty there is, why do you bow down to these others?" Of course, something like that in Terah's house doesn't really go well. So next thing you know, the Lord brings Abram out unto where he had purposed his soul to be before he ever created his soul. The eternal purpose for which God created the soul, to bring unto the person of his son. Abraham, by the tender mercy and ever-abounding grace, discovered the living God. This is what he communicated in his household, because his very own heart was submitted unto the house of God. What governed the house of God now governed the heart of Abram. His heart was submitted unto this, whether anyone else knew it, recognized it, or not. And this is what Abram communicated unto his household. Think of it. Every appearing of the Lord, mealtime maybe. "Tell us, Abram, what have you seen of the Lord?" "Oh, no, 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 no." Not "what have you seen of the Lord?" "Declare unto us this living God, before whose face you stand and walk, the one who ever keeps you, for he is your shield, protector, shield, protector, the keeper of our soul, the one who keeps you before his face, the only one who is able to make us to stand. Tell us about this one, this living one, this one that we could never know before. And he tells them so much that his testimony births in their heart a very expectation to behold this very same one. Yes, even unto a servant that came out of Egypt. Wow, how God is so merciful. Hagar, is this he who sees me? I have seen him who sees me. See, man chops up, makes divisions based upon what we see in the outward, what we think. You know, man, the mind of man is, that's all it is, one big division. But God is not divided. He is one. He knows why he created the soul. He has his purpose for creating the soul, though we believe we have ours, and then someone else believes they have theirs, and someone else believes they have theirs. God alone knows the truth. If the thing is of God, it will. It is designed to. It is purposed of God to bring unto the person of his Son time and time and time again. First, at the moment of new birth, where the heart in the tender mercy and ever-abounding grace of God, God stepping in, taking the initiative, doing what man could never, never, never do, Christ appears in the soul. God grants repentance, and Christ appears in the soul. The Holy Spirit continues. It doesn't change. No, Jesus says, he will take that which is of mine, he shall show it unto you. He will bring you, he will lead you, he will guide you into all truth, who Christ himself is. Nothing has changed. God has not changed to a new plan. No, no, no. It's always the same. That our hearts would be prepared yet once again to turn and behold now the one who is present in the midst. To discover, listen, to discover his mercies anew every morning. It's like discovering only what God can do every dawning of the day in our heart. Because we could never do it. Because we sought him not. He's the one who drew us. He's the one who sought us. No man seeketh after God, no, not one. That wasn't just then, but now, no, no, no. No man seeketh after God, no, not one. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. So yesterday we looked at Elijah, one who is, one whose heart is submitted unto the purpose of the Lord in his generation. One whose heart is submitted unto that which governs the house of God, that which governs the creation of God. And therefore, because his heart is submitted unto the purpose of the Lord in his generation, he automatically, I love the word, automatic, without effort, because it's not man's effort, he automatically serves the ministry of God in his generation. The prophets of Baal, right? The big showdown that you've heard preached. The prophets of Baal. And I know I've shared this before, but hey, we're talking about Elijah anyway. What does he say? What is his priestly prayer? I have not done this of my own will, of my own accord, of my own mind, of my own thought. Not what I thought needed to take place, but let it be known that it is your mind, Lord. Let it be known this day that you, not man, you have turned their hearts back again. This is what God does. Man doesn't do this. God does this. Who can take credit for something they didn't do? Only someone who is ignorant of the one who doeth. That's it. So here's Elijah and Elisha. Verse 4. Oh, I forgot to put the map back up. Well, real quick. Sorry. Just real quick. This is even worse of a drawing. Forgive me for this. I totally forgot to do this. Whoops. That's a way off, but it really should go here somewhere. Totally forgot about the map. Something like that. And then you have the Mediterranean Sea somewhere over there. Okay, so and you've got Israel, Judah. All right, so they started in Gilgal, somewhere on here. And so they went down to Bethel, somewhere over here. That's going to get real crowded. Bethel. Okay, that's where we're at. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. His response. The Lord liveth. He was, if you will, not by instruction, not by teaching, not by doctrine, not by sermon, not by preaching. Elisha was learning from Elijah by what he did. Yes. Not what he said. What we hear with a natural ear goes into a natural brain, and we conceive an idol. It is our concept of what we have heard. That's what we do. He was learning something. He was seeing this man. He knew that there was something in this person that was not in anyone else that he'd known. And so he just kind of studied him, watched him. And in his heart was birthed an expectation. Not, I want to learn from you. The expectation was, we'll get to that. The Lord liveth. He was convinced. Convinced. The Lord liveth. I mean, this is what Elijah had declared a couple times. The Lord liveth. The Lord God of hosts liveth. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. And thy soul liveth. I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. It wasn't, I will not leave your message. I will not leave your teaching. I will not leave your doctrine, for I'm memorizing it. I can blah, blah, blah. I can parrot it. I can repeat it. I've got it memorized. I can teach it. I can show it. I can. And everything that I can is I. Everything that God does is I cannot. Do you see? I believe the Spirit of God was doing and had been doing something in the heart of this man, Elisha, to continue, to go on in the Lord. To follow in pursuit of a person. And ultimately, that person was not Elijah the man. We know that. We can even see it here. The Lord liveth, thy soul liveth. Wait, I thought the Lord liveth. Yes, the Lord liveth, thy soul liveth because of the living one. He didn't say, the Lord liveth, your soul lives, and my soul lives too. No. The Lord liveth, thy soul liveth. Not I, but Christ. There's only one living one. So in Jericho, they come to Jericho. And let's see. I've got a couple of notes here. I'll just read it real quick. This is Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. This is right before the children of Israel enter into the land. Of course, Joshua, we know, is a type of Christ. A type, listen, of the risen Lord. The risen Lord, remember, death, burial, resurrection. Death, Egypt, the burial, Red Sea, resurrection, the children of Israel. Their feet, their natural feet, are in the wilderness. And yet the Lord says, I bear you on eagle's wings unto myself. I will bring you unto myself. In reality, in testimony of reality, they are in resurrection. So here's Joshua, who believes the good report. Joshua, who actually sees the fruit that fills the land. He was one of the 12 spies. And only Joshua and Caleb saw the fruit that filled the land. No one else could see it. They saw it and they embraced it. They saw the Lord. What other fruit is there? Is it my fruit, your fruit? No. They saw Christ, who filleth the land. And so here we are, Joshua, a type, coming now with all of Israel, who is, yes, the firstborn, to come in and take possession of the land, which is rightfully his. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And I like this. Because, see, Joshua had been a leader, a commander under Moses for quite some time in the wilderness. They even fought a battle or two, I think, before this. Excuse me if I'm like out of order there. But nonetheless, came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? I love the Lord's response. Are you for, well, different map. Are you for us or for our adversaries? Because they were about to cross Jordan. The Lord says, no. That's totally out of context. Out of Joshua's context. Here, Lord. Actually, he didn't even call him Lord yet. Who are you for? Who are you for? Are you for us or for our enemies? Because I know who we are, and I know who our enemies are. It's not us. Who are you for, Lord? But he didn't call him Lord. He just said, who are you for? No. The Lord is over here. Out of what can be seen with a natural eye, what can be heard with a natural ear, and what can be understood with a natural mind, the Lord says, no. When the Lord spoke that to Abram, what I shared earlier, I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. It was right before, actually it was right after the defeat of the four and five kings. Some Jewish commentators say that it was the defeat of the five senses. The defeat of the senses, the natural realm, the sense realm. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But the Lord is eternal. He's above. He doesn't come down to our level. He doesn't come down to our natural carnal mind. But he's continually drawing the heart above. I can't remember who said it. Look now from whence you are. The north, the south, the east, the west. Look at the fullness that filleth. It goes on. And he said, no, but as captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said, what saith my Lord unto his servant? A beautiful appearing of the Lord. I am not the Lord here. I am the servant here. The Lord, he is God. It's almost like you can see the little thing of authority just kind of blah, 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 blah. He submits unto the Lord. Now going back, as the sons of the prophets, oh, that's just one thing. Not only that, but we do know that they were circumcised, actually in Gilgal, after crossing Jordan. And the thing here with Jordan is that later on we see in chapter 6, it's like verse 1 through 6, and Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and you shall compass the city all about. There is the destruction of a stronghold, probably one of the greatest strongholds for them to accomplish. But they didn't accomplish it at all. It was the Lord's doing. So here you have a victory of the Lord. That's what Jericho stands for, a victory of the Lord. Something completely impossible in the natural to happen. Completely impossible in the natural to happen. Not I, but Christ. Not my ability, the ability of another. So here's kind of some history, just with all that's going on, as Elijah and Elisha come to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. There is confirmation right there. I mean, Elisha knew it. First group of prophets knew it. Second group of prophets knew it. They knew what was going on, what was about to happen. And Elisha's like, yes, I know that. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, this is verse 6, tarry here, I pray thee. Or tarry, I pray thee here. For the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. I'm going on because it's the mind of the Lord to go on. And you don't have to go on. You don't have to follow. You don't have to continue. The Lord does not force anyone. I mean, Jesus would walk and say, you, follow me. Yes, Lord, but someone else. You, follow me. Yes, Lord, but. All right? No man can come to Jesus except the Father draw him. Everything that is of God is designed of God to bring unto the person of Christ. When the rich young ruler came unto Jesus, his thing was keeping the law. Unfortunately, he didn't recognize that the law was just the testimony of Christ. And so Jesus says, okay, he asks, what must I do to be saved? So Jesus said, all right. He probably knew his heart. How about doing this. I've done that. Okay, well, how about this? I got that down. I can do that. And so, okay, well, how about this? No, I can't do that. The Lord himself brought this man, this person, to a place where he could confess, I cannot. Lord, thou son of David, have mercy upon me and do that which only you can do, because that is the design of the testimony. Brings us unto a person, does what we cannot do. And instead, he walked away sad. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Know thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today. And he answered, Yea, I know, hold your peace. Verse 6, And Elisha said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And see, to me, it doesn't say it in the scriptures, but I totally believe that at some point, Elijah had to cross the Jordan. That's just to me. Remember, currently right now, my thought is basically this, that the Red Sea is reality, death, burial, resurrection. The Jordan is the knowledge of reality. Now, listen up. Reality is Christ himself. Wisdom is Christ himself. Knowledge is Christ himself. Understanding is Christ himself. Not I, but Christ. Not my wisdom, Christ who is wisdom. Not my knowledge, Christ who is knowledge. Not my understanding, Christ who is understanding. Not my sanctification, not my righteousness, but Christ who is. Verse 7, And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. You have two groups of prophets knowing what's going to happen, or in their minds, at least they can declare what's going to happen. They may have their own concept of what's going to happen. You have two groups. Who knows how many prophets there were in each group? I don't know. But right here, you have 50 of them. 50. And yet, they stood to view afar off. At any moment, one of those could have said, Lord, me too. Do whatever's happening in the heart of that guy. Me too. I have no clue why this guy's going on. Me too. There's something beyond what I know of you, what I know of the truth. Jericho. I think it was Jericho. Yes, Jericho. This is the Holman Bible Dictionary. Place, name, meaning, moon. There is the light of the sun, there is the light of the moon, and there is the light of the stars, all which are the testimony of the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's all it is. I know this, Lord. I know this. Me too. Bring me to that which I do not know, which I could never know, do not know, and could never know, unto that which only you know, for I have no clue of what it is. But to Elisha, it's not a what, it's a who. It's a him. It just, That's why I stress the heart of Elisha was prepared of God for such a time. He could not have continued following Elijah. No, he couldn't have. It was impossible. We see it with 50 prophets plus. They got so close, and yet still afar off. They probably stood for the Lord in their generation. Remember, stood for the Lord, stood for the truth, stood for the realities. Something that nobody else was doing. Remember, they were worshiping the calves, the Baals, the Baals, the false Lord, the false master, the false husband. And here are those in the midst of idolatry, because literally Israel and Judah, they're on their way down. This is right before the captivity. I mean, they're already taking their steps. I mean, their hearts had already departed from the Lord, and it was just natural for them to continue on. Remember the whole time, even Elijah, Mount Carmel once again? The whole issue, turning the heart back unto the Lord. For these people, they honor me with their lips, and yet their hearts, they're just far from me. They honor me with what they know. And yet their heart, I don't care about what they know. I don't even care how they can present it. I've gotten to a place where I don't know if it's by the Lord or if it's just like by trial and error. I've discovered that correct doctrine does not correct. Correct teaching does not correct. Because to me, correction is when God Almighty, in his tender mercy and ever-abounding grace, steps in, takes the initiative, and directs our heart unto Christ, his beloved Son. To me, that is correction. Jesus said it this way, if indeed you have heard of the Father, if you've heard from him, and if you've actually learned something from him, anything from him, you will come to me. How is it that we know that we truly understand the scriptures? When is it that we know that we actually truly understand the scriptures? It is only when, by the tender mercy and ever-abounding grace of God, our hearts are directed and we are beholding, not in a glass, but we are beholding the one of whom the scriptures speak. That's when we know what the scriptures say. That's it. They are they that testify of me. With purpose. Sadly, Jesus told that generation, and you will not come to me to find what you are looking for. Because built in to our soul, built in to our heart, it is of God. We didn't do this. There is an expectation that can only be fulfilled in the person of his Son and in nothing less. That's why when the heart has been prepared of the Lord, a message will not do. It may do for a little while, but it's not long before that heart is saying, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. All the while, whether that heart recognizes it or not, the message, if the message, listen, is of God, it has been designed of God to prepare the ground of that heart for one expected end. Whether we realize that or not, that's what the Spirit of God has been doing since before we were born again and continues doing since the moment of new birth. Whether we realize it or not, it was really, and it is really, and it will always be really about Jesus. Nothing less, nothing more. I don't bring anything to the table. God has set the table. I have nothing to bring. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. Gosh, that's heartbreaking. I mean, I've read this, I don't know how many times, because I've read, I mean, all of us, we've read this we've probably read the Bible multiple times. But when I read it, I was like, oh my God. 50 sons of the prophets who were being instructed, who were being trained to walk, to minister. And yet, though they may have stood for the truth, they did not, as Elijah, stood before the face of the truth. This was by God. That's why Elijah could confess, hey, Lord, let it be known that everything I'm doing today, it's not my mind, it's not my will, not by the mind of man, the will of man, the ability of man. I didn't conceive this. I didn't even birth this in my own little natural mind. I didn't plan this. But you, Lord, not I, but Christ. Gosh, but listen to this. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. This is the faithfulness of God. This is our Ebenezer, who has been faithful, who is faithful, who will continue to be faithful, who is only faithful. Remember when he spoke to Jacob, I will be with you and I will bring you back again. Not your doing, my doing. Not your time, my time. Not your mind, my mind. Not your ability, my ability. To do what no man could ever do. And Elijah took his mantle. The ability, not of Elisha, the ability of another. Took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Complete miracle of God, even there, setting up the stage. Verse 9, and when it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And I don't know, wow, that cannot be so. I don't know about you all, but if you have not experienced this, God give you mercy and grace when you do, or if you do. There may come a time when the Lord asks you, what would you have me do for you? Ask anything of me. He's El Shaddai. He can do anything. The best response would be, Lord, do that which pleases you. Do that which pleases you. Just leave it right there. Remember? Bear your heart before the Lord. Do that which pleases you. In praying with the Lord sometimes, I say that because in praying with the Lord sometimes, to the Lord, I've said, Lord, I'm off. I know I'm off. I know my prayer is off. Except you do something, my heart will still be off in what I call la-la land, my own daydream, my own imagination. Except you step in, turn my heart again, I'll remain where I am. Do that which pleases you. See, this Elisha's heart had been prepared of God for such a time, for such a response. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Randy set this up. The double portion, what Elisha was praying for was not, I am the firstborn, because the double portion only exclusively goes to the firstborn, to none other. Elisha wasn't saying, I want the double portion because I'm the firstborn. No. No. The firstborn whom your heart is submitted unto, may my heart be submitted unto as well. For I have seen in you a stewardship, because nothing is yours. You have nothing to protect. It's not yours. I've seen something different. All I want is that what your heart is submitted to, that my heart be submitted to as well. Unto the true King, the true heir, the true kingdom, the true firstborn. Something outside of this that I can see with my natural eye, hear with my natural ear, understand with my natural mind. For your heart is submitted unto that which governs the house of God. I love Elijah, his response. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. You know what you just asked for? Something that is completely impossible with man. And yet your asking has been because your heart has been prepared for such a time as this. You ask for what man cannot do. You ask for what I cannot do. You ask for what you cannot do. Only El Shaddai. And more specifically, only the Father. And he even goes on further. It has it in the italics, nevertheless. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, or if you see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. Remember, please remember, this little journey began in the kingdom. They went from, what was it? Gilgal, thank you. My memory fails me. To Bethel. To Jericho. I'll put Jericho right about, oh, this is terrible chalk, right about there. And then they crossed over somewhere over here. They crossed out of, no, I can't say even out of, they crossed Jordan somewhere around over here. This is where they are right now. They never left the land. They never left the kingdom. They never left purpose. But in Elisha's heart, Elisha, and he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing, if thou see me." And he just doesn't say, I mean, he's seeing him. How? I see you. Hallelujah, it's mine. No. Elisha had seen Elijah for quite some time. "If thou see me taken from thee." We all know how Elijah was taken. He was taken up. If you see the resurrection, this is what it comes down to. If you see him who is the resurrection, the firstborn from among the dead. If you see me when I am taken, which requires a miracle of God. The eyes of the heart being drawn above, lift up now thine eyes. Set your affection on that which is above, who Christ himself is. The heart being directed unto where God hath already, past tense, brought the soul in reality at the moment of new birth. Remember, be where ye be. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Chariot of fire, horses of fire. Man, there's so much activity going on. Verse 12. And Elisha saw and cried, "The chariots of fire." Dun, 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 dun. No, just kidding. Bad joke. No. Listen to what he says. "My father, my father." How do you say, "Show us the Father," if I've been with you so long? Have you not known me? If you've seen me, you've seen everything of God there is to see. You will have beheld everything of God there is to behold. What is there to see when the heavens are open except Christ, the Son of the living God himself? To know anything of God, the Son must be known. And yet for the Son must be known, to be known, God the Father alone must make known his Son. And it is never our knowing, it is his knowing. Our knowing is ignorance, it's darkness. Do you remember? As a light that shineth in a dark place. The light of the testimony going forth, preparing the ground of our heart for one expected end, to be prepared for such a time as this, that the day dawn and the day star arise in our heart, more glorious than what we could ever actually see with our natural eye, or hear with our natural ear, or even comprehend, or even imagine with a natural mind. The orders in the scripture, the spiritual orders, nothing compared to him. "I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward." And then you hear the psalmist, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. He is my inheritance. But is it really David? It's the Psalms of the Christ. He goes on, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him that way no more. Everything that he had known of Elijah before, whom he talked with, whom he conversed with, whom he held, who he handled, he saw him no more that way. But why? Because he saw the risen Lord. He saw what I could not see, what ear could never hear, what mind could never understand. He asked for what he knew not, and yet his heart had been prepared for such a time as this, to ask for what he knew not. What does this mean? A double portion to whom belongs the firstborn. What does this mean? I don't even know what I'm asking for. But you know, Lord. I'm just asking it. It's in my heart for some reason. But you know, Lord. I love this. The chariot of Israel, well, and Elisha saw, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. See, everything takes second place to him and him alone, to the person. Not my idea of the person, not your idea of the person. God's knowing of the person of his son. See, in the household of Abraham, it wasn't good enough for just Abraham to be beholding the living God. No, his very testimony birthed in the hearts of his household that same expectation. How do you think Hagar could confess, "Have I seen him who seeth me?" How do you think Sarah could now behold that which no longer Abram, but Abraham was now beholding at the appointed time? That's all that should be taking place in our heart. That one expectation, the desire of all nations, the desire throughout all eternity. And he saw him no more that way. And look, this is after seeing the risen Lord, after seeing the resurrection, after seeing the true firstborn, look at just, I love this, the automatics. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two. Not I, but Christ. The veil was rent in his heart. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. He went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. See, this is not the first time that the mantle of Elijah was upon Elisha. No. His very first encounter, when Elijah first appeared unto Elisha, Elijah threw his mantle upon him. Whether Elisha recognized what happened or not, at that very moment, everything had changed for Elisha. The thing is, Elisha was not yet walking in that which Elijah's heart was submitted unto. And so then we have the whole story, the whole journey of the heart, Elijah bringing Elisha. What is it all about? Oh, well, it's more in what is done. More than what you can see with a natural eye. See that victory that we had in Mount Carmel? That wasn't what it was all about. What it was all about is that the Lord gave that victory so that hearts could turn yet once again unto Him. That's what it was all about. And so now, He took up also the mantle of Elijah. Now, the wisdom. Now, the knowledge. Now, the understanding of another from on high is what he is clothed with in his heart. I'm going to wrap it up here. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. He's about right here. He's not by himself. Right here, ready to cross. Smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Now they have it as a question, and it may well be a question. But he could have also answered his question. He is in me. The Jordan cannot resist the understanding of God. The Jordan cannot resist the mind of God. And the waters were parted. And he crossed. And Elisha went over. And then you have the sons of the prophets that come to him. I know my time has run out. You have the sons of the prophets that, which were to view at Jericho, saw him. They said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." Not Elisha, but Elijah. Whether they figured that out because the waters parted, I do not know. Whether it was just something they knew of him, it's like, this guy is different. I do not know. What I do know is that only God can prepare a heart for such a time as this. So please, as I mentioned, kind of on and off, take everything that is being presented during this time. Take everything that I just shared, everything that is presented during this time. Don't settle for it. Don't settle for it being it, what's being declared being it. No. Take it, present it to the Lord, Spirit of God, God Almighty, do what pleases you. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. We're going to do a lunchtime break. Rabbi, did you have any announcements? No, we're good. Amen.